Welcome to Scare My Best Friend to Death, where we answer the only true horror question. Will my best friend survive this movie? Join our hosts, Crystal, an avid horror enthusiast since she was a small child, and Katie, who has to sleep with a light on after watching anything remotely scary, as they discuss the best horror movies Crystal can make Katie watch.
Welcome to Scare My Best Friend to Death. I'm Crystal.
And I'm Katie.
And on this week's episode, we are going to be covering the 2004 horror film Saw. This is currently at time of recording, streaming on Prime. It's directed by James Wan. It is starring Tobin Bell, Carrie Hughes, Lee Whannell, and Shawnee Smith. Spoiler warning, this movie came out 20 years ago. I feel really, really old right now, but 20 years. And it just had another kind of sequel, prequel, equal come out. Mm-hmm. So in this episode, we are only concentrating on the original Saw from 2004. So we're not going to be talking about the other movies in this franchise. Trigger warning. There is violence. There is blood. There's death. There's a hell of a lot of gore. And there's kidnapping. If any of that is not your jam, we completely understand. You can hit the road now. Share us with your friends, family. Share us with your enemies. We'll tell them to fuck right on off if you want us to. For the rest of you, let's talk about Saw. Now, Katie, before we get into this one, this is your first time seeing this one.
Yes.
This, along with Hellraiser, are my two favorite horror movies. I love this movie. And I have a feeling you didn't, based on a text you sent me when you were watching this, which everybody's entitled to their own wrong opinions, but I've got some trivia and some tidbits and stuff to share with you that may, I don't want to say change your mind, but may explain why certain things were done the way they were in this movie. Now, First question, how bad do you think this place smells?
You know, I had to just completely ignore that whole aspect while I was watching this movie, because just looking at it made me want to vomit.
Oh,
and
it's pretty gnarly.
I really hope that on set it smelled like Airwick refill somewhere, not an actual. It looks like a mix between a bathroom and a sewer.
Well, depending on the gas station you stop at, you are correctly right.
And it is the perfect place to be a torture chamber.
Yes, and it is grimy, and it is dirty, and it is fluorescently lit, but kind of that blue fluorescence. So it's kind of got this hazy blue on it. Kind of gives you the appearance of, you know, desolation, despair, just right from the beginning. And of course, you know, they're isolated. This movie kind of came out of nowhere. This was an independent film. So it has a great story. This is a movie that does have a really, really good twist ending. So,
yeah.
Katie, how did you feel about this movie?
Well, it was very well written. I did not like the twist, because you know how I am about movie endings. But I will say, after I watched Friday the 13th, right before I watched this one, or I should say I finished Friday the 13th right before I watched this one, and as fast paced as the ending of that movie is, and then I'm trying to watch Saw, and it is so slow to start.
Oh, but you know,
I was falling asleep.
it's
Like, I had to get up and clean so I could stay awake for this movie.
this one has great pacing for what it is. This is not your typical horror movie when it comes to something like Friday the 13th, which is an all-out slasher. This is psychological suspense horror. This is mind fucking you from the minute that you start watching this.
Yeah, pretty much. At first, when I saw the guy in the tub, I was like, oh, he's taking a bath. And then I'm like, wait a minute, he's wearing clothes.
Hey, why would you take a bath in something that grimy looking? This whole
Well,
set looks
from
like.
the coloring of it, and I don't know if it's because I had to turn up the brightness on my phone. I didn't notice the grime at first because I just saw him in the water, and then I was taking in my surroundings, which is why I will not survive in a horror movie. I took in my surroundings too late.
Yeah, this room looks like just inhaling any amount of air in it, you're gonna get tetanus.
And
Along with,
hepatitis.
along with a couple of STDs, probably.
I can think of at least three, I'm pretty sure, that you would get just from touching a doorknob, much less being chained to the floor.
Right. This one, how many whiplashes did you get in this movie?
It was more one of those, not the whiplash, but the gag reflex.
Yeah. Now, for me, the first time I saw it, I went into it blind. I had a friend show this movie to me, so I didn't get to see this in theater or anything. And they were like, this has an amazing twist ending, and that's all I'm going to tell you about it. So for Katie, I just told her, hey, I want to cover this movie, and I'm not telling you shit about it. Just like I do with any other movie. I do not give Katie anything, and I specifically tell her, please watch the movie, and then you can look up stuff about it. Like, please go into every movie blind so that you have an actual, genuine first watch reaction. This movie, the plot and things that happen may not give you whiplashes, but certainly the kills do,
Yes.
the way that those are set up. And we have Danny Glover in this movie, and I love me some Danny Glover. And
Yes.
Danny Glover is tired of this shit, and so am I. This movie starts out, you're only in one singular room, and it has our, two main characters that we're watching for the movie. And then it flips to our detective, which is Danny Glover, and they're investigating all of these different crime scenes. And it sort of looks like and kind of mimics the movie Seven with the way that the deaths are, but that's not really what the killer's going after in this one. And you're not very clear on who the killer is. You're not clear on why these men are in this room together.
How
You're not clear of the motive, and you're not clear how they got there in this one. The Saw franchise does a really good job and kind of mimics the Final Destination franchise, where as you watch them, things start to loop back together and it makes sense for a previous one, or it ties up all of the loose ends. I get stuck on how bad this probably smelled. I would probably have vomit everywhere in here. And if you have a bathroom looking like this, so we're looking at it. You've got an actual toilet. You've got a nasty urinal on the wall. You've got this grimy bathtub and all of these industrial looking pipes, but everything's tiled floor ceiling. What kind of bathroomish place is this? Like, what type of building would this bathroom be in? This doesn't look like a gym bathroom. This doesn't look like a college, like an early, like an older college dormitory, free-for-all shower room. This room is very weird to me. It's kind of, unsettling, and it's supposed to be. But what
When
was the
he
purpose of this room before we have all this tetanus and poop and everything everywhere? And I mean everywhere.
Yes. When he jumps up out of the tub and his real when Adam jumps up and he's realized, okay, there's another person in here, they've got the lights on, and he's like, look at my back, look at my back. Do I still have my kidneys? Kind of thing. That is what I think this purpose was. It was a black market type area, like Fight Club bathroom, underground. Nobody talked about it. Some seriously bad shit went down here type place that is underground and has been forgotten about and left to ruins.
Yeah, I mean, this is just, I would have the same reaction. A, I'd probably be vomiting everywhere once, either the smell hit me or the sights hit me, waking up out of the tub. But I'd probably have the same reaction too. But I like how Carrie Elwes's character, Lawrence, goes, "Your kidneys aren't missing. You'd know. You'd be in terrible agony." And I have a feeling if someone else was in the room with me and they're talking about their kidneys, I'd be like, the same, like, who the hell wants
You're
your kid?
moving. You're moving around way too easy for this, bro.
Right. You don't feel an incision. You don't have a loss of blood, all this other stuff. But it does look like they were roughed up a little bit. You've got some bruising. You got a little bit of bleeding. And you've got, different stuff happening. And I just, this toilet with this poop in here, like,
Oh
I
gosh.
don't know what they made that out of, but they really did make that look real. And I couldn't have done it because where's some running water to wash my hand? I probably would have
Thank
been
you.
vomiting the whole fucking time.
And I had to stop at that point. It's like 14 minutes into the movie. I was done for the night. I couldn't do it. I had to watch like Grey's Anatomy, where they're surgically scrubbing in and their hands are all nice and pristine for a few minutes, kind of situation here, because that was awful.
Well, it's also one of those things, like, and we're talking about it very, casually right now because we're not in that situation and we're like, oh no, we'd be vomiting the fuck out of everything. But you're in that situation and you're trying desperately, you want to get out.
My first thought though was, why are you not going to check the tank first? Like, I
Well,
remember sitting there going, the heart's on the tank. Check the tank, not the toilet.
it's one of those weird things. And then what they find in there are these handsaws. They're not even, and of course, your first instinct is to try to cut the lock, cut the chain, try to get untethered. But you can look at these saws and tell they ain't cutting that chain, just
No,
period.
they're barely going to cut anything.
Right, which
And
does come into play later on.
yeah, when as soon as the tape players came out, my first thought was, oh, great. This is going to be like a Clue whodunit escape room kind of thing.
Yeah, kind of.
And which at that point, I was like, okay. I can handle this. And then the toilet happened. And I could not handle this. But I want to know, because for the first few minutes after that, his hand is rather dirty. But after that, his hand looks really clean. And there was nowhere to wash off in this
There was
bathroom.
there wasn't any water left in the tub. They
No.
drained the tub. That's right. They
He
drained
drained the
the
tub
tub
when
to
he got up.
get, to get the cassette player. Which is another funny thing. This was 2004, and they used a cassette player. We had long had CDs. 2004, we were starting to have MP3s and things like that, but they still chose old school cassette.
Because those don't run well, you can't wipe that as easily. But my first thought was, okay, the bad guy's going to be old.
Yes. Yeah, I had that thought too, or, kind of an eccentric person. But on first watch, that didn't even blip to me that, why are they using a cassette, player? Why are they using cassettes? That didn't blip. But that is a feature that stays for this whole franchise.
It's
Now,
also easy to record and play.
yes. Now, we do have a puppet in this movie that is on a tricycle that is kind of clown-like that scares the fuck out of me, but I can tolerate Billy. Billy also pops up in a different movie that Lee Whannell and James Wan did, and it's called Dead Silence. And we will probably cover that one. But I went to the theater to see Dead Silence just because these guys' names were on it. And like we just talked about Friday the 13th in our previous episode, and how Sean Cunningham kind of helped reinforce where John Carpenter did Halloween with a slasher and bring that genre, bring that to life. This in 2004 really brought this body horror, body horror, psychological horror, kind of really graphic gore to the mainstream. And we had movies like Cabin Fever and if you're an Eli Roth fan, Hostel, that really took off with like the body horror aspect. Some of these scenes are even me as a nurse that are like, yeah, that looks pretty bad for you, but they're kind of hard to sit through to see. And then you have Jigsaw, who is our killer, and obviously has some type of medical training because we are inserting keys and eyeballs. We are, putting these traps on the people to rip heads off. We are setting these people up to for these games. Do you, I want to play a game. I don't know in what world this is a game, but that ain't Monopoly. And I hate Monopoly, and I think I'd rather play Monopoly than deal with this shit.
Would rather play Monopoly with my brother, specifically my middle brother, than do this game.
Right. This, everything over the course of the series, the traps, the game, everything gets a little more sophisticated and looks a little, I don't want to say better, but a little more cleaned up. I kind of like the raw grittiness of this movie and of these traps and everything looking so fucking grimy. It just, it is definitely, this was definitely an adventure. This movie is not for the weak. I would say the series is not for the weak. If you can't handle body horror, this ain't it. This is not your jam. It's just not gonna be. I do like the signature trap that we have here, and I don't remember if it's called a spring trap or what, but is when we get introduced to Shawnee Smith and she has the metal on her head and in her mouth and in her jaw, and she's got her game is that she has to play and find the key in the other person that's in the room with her. And then he left an x-ray of where this key was. And Miss Ma'am did not hesitate. Miss Ma'am cut that man open, took that key, and deuced.
Not even when she realized that he was still alive.
Right. She meant she was surviving, which, and we get into her backstory kind of in sequels. But we have Jigsaw, whose whole thing is that there are people that are committing crimes or wasting their life, hurting their body, and they're not taking advantage of life to the fullest. So, this is his rehabilitation program. He's gonna make you better if you survive. If not, you is deed. D-E-D-D, D on arrival.
Yes. It's not just the people that he chooses for the games. It's everybody around them that is affected by this.
Yeah, and that's why I said this is mindfuck the
And
movie. Like everybody is getting just
it is.
toyed with in this
But
movie.
you see in the beginning when it's just Adam and Dr. Lawrence Gordon, otherwise known as Robin Hood, you're like, okay, it's just them. But then you learn, no. They stepped over the line and they have done pissed him off, and he's getting out of there no matter what because they have his wife and child.
Right.
And then you like with every different aspect, somebody else with every single situation, somebody else is involved.
Right. This
And then
kind
you
of
have
becomes like a 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon. We're going to see how, we're going to figure out how you are connected to you, why you are in this situation, why this is connected.
I feel like from the get-go with the chains in the toilet, or the not the chains, with the saws in the bag in the toilet, like, oh, shit just got real.
Shit got real, real quick. We left your organs,
And
but we need a foot donation in response.
right, when Dr. Gordon realizes they're not to cut the chains, it's to cut off your foot. Like at that point, I think I realized they ain't getting out of this.
Well, my thing is, it wouldn't
But
cut through the chain, and you've already dulled the blade on the chain. This is going to be agony trying to cut your foot off because, yeah, it's going to cut through. It's absolutely going to cut through the skin. But bone is a different thing. And Jigsaw knew immediately they were going to try on the chain. So they are going to dull their blade. So it's going to be more agonizing for them. Now, we have another character. This introduced in the movie, we have John Kramer, who's played by Tobin Bell. John Kramer is a cancer patient, but what happens is he gets misdiagnosed because x-rays get mixed up at the hospital. And it is Dr. Gordon who is reading his x-rays and taking care of him at the hospital. And so John Kramer's cancer kind of goes undiagnosed because of this mix-up. And because of this mix-up, John Kramer becomes kind of vengeful because when he does find out he has cancer, he's only got just a couple of months left. And I need to learn how to weld like fucking John Kramer. Like, I need to
Right?
like, I guess I just need to go ask my dad.
I
But
don't know. Your dad might be like, dang, that's some good work.
he, what we find out, and I don't think it's very apparent in this one, but what we find out is John Kramer is Jigsaw. Now, when this movie first came out, people were calling the puppet Jigsaw. The puppet is Billy. Jigsaw is the killer, that does these games and that does, you know, that sets these people up. And there's a lot of hows and whys you get in this movie. Like, how did he do that? Why did he do that? How did he get this person there? How did they get that person over here? And those are answered in sequels.
And
So.
I like how the whole time this is going on, you think that Jigsaw is Zep.
Yes, they do. They lead
And
up. There's a lot of red herrings in this movie, and I think that's another reason why I liked it. Because like everybody that's presented in front of you, and like you said, we start to get kind of the spider web. We get introduced to this character and that character and this character, and then we figure out as the movie goes on how everybody is connected. But it's kind of like, oh, they introduced this person. Is that the killer? Then they introduce this person. Oh, this is the killer. And for a while, you think it's Dr. Gordon. they kind of keep going to that as Dr. Gordon being the killer. So it's almost like it's also a whodunit.
And when they bring in the detectives and you start, and he's like, I know who this is. That Dr. Gordon says, I know who this is. They suspected me of him last. And then I'm like, wait a second. Because that was like, I was like, oh, if he really turns out to be operating this from a button in his pocket, like an episode of Criminal Minds, I'm going to be pissed. He is
Right.
not supposed to be the bad guy.
It
Then you have the detectives, but it shows how absolutely obsessed Detective Tapp or Danny Glover's character becomes. And you don't know why he is just so obsessed until about halfway through.
Right. And you get the news and you figure out why he's obsessed, but he's also being told by several people, hey, you need to back off, you need to let this go, you need to give this up, this is no longer your case. And they're trying to save him, and unfortunately
He don't listen.
Danny Glover kind of gets kind of fucked up in this movie.
Bringing the detectives in, it adds that extra layer of who is where and who's doing what.
Right.
And when I saw that, that was what really made me feel like the whodunit part. But part of me was almost like, I think Deputy Tapp just needs a girlfriend so he's able to compartmentalize, because this kind of obsession is going to lead him to burnout. And that burnout is going to make him make really poor choices, which we saw him do.
Yes.
And right around that time, I also was like, nobody better mess with my Robin Hood and his merry men in tights.
So, psychologically speaking, we've got several different characters here because it's a web that opens up. We're going to start with the little one. This little girl who keeps saying, there's somebody in my room. There's somebody that comes to my room. And then she's essentially kidnapped or held hostage, we'll say. Her and her mom are held hostage. Psychologically speaking, what do you think this poor child is going to wind up either with or dealing with or?
She's gonna have some issues, because first off, she's gonna be like, ain't nobody believe me. Not one person
Right.
believes her. I mean, granted, he did look under the bed and they had the lights turned on, but nobody checked the closet. Had somebody just checked the closet, well, this whole movie wouldn't have happened. But
I think part of this movie still would have happened, but if someone would have checked the closet, I think it would have been a further catalyst. Like that part would have moved faster, or certain things would have moved because this is all calculated. And so you have, like, if one thing doesn't happen at the right time, then it's gonna mess up the rest of it, which I think is another reason why I'm drawn to these movies, because you've got this so planned out. If there's one wrench in any of it, it all falls apart. So how does this continue to move forward? Like, how do you make sure there's no wrenches in any plan? Like, this person, John Kramer, needs to be writing SOPs for companies. Like, he's got it all thought out. Now, so the mom obviously like didn't believe the daughter and is being held hostage as well, knows that her husband is, kidnapped and will be killed on certain conditions. So what is she going to have to deal with if she survives?
Well, she's probably going to be messed up, but from the sounds of their relationship, they were not having the best relationship.
Right.
And then, that gets confirmed a little later on. Like with her, the whole time I was like, okay, Adam's here. He's a PI. He's going to be a PI for her. And the whole time I'm thinking she's the one that hired him, and she's not.
She's not, absolutely not.
With her, you're going to see somebody who is going to become dependent on medications and serious need of some in-depth, intensive therapy. And the mom and daughter are probably not ever going to be able to live without somebody there to take care of them ever again.
Right. They're going to have a caretaker. I don't want to say that they would probably have agoraphobia, but I ain't going to deny it.
They're gonna be sleeping with the lights on and all the doors open. If they sleep peacefully ever again. But that's, if that character gets the help that they need with some modifications, they will be consider what we would consider functional in society until something traumatic happens and brings this all back up.
Subsequent killings or subsequent gains, we'll put it that way.
And, my own psychological aspect of this was, I'm like, oh my gosh, no, he's gonna get the kid. No, it can't be the kid. Oh, the mom. No, the daughter doesn't need to see the mom die. Like, I was being fucked with at this point.
That's what I said. It's mind fuck the movie.
And I mean, and you know how I am about things crawling, especially when they move fast. And that little like hog devil looking thing, when it comes out of the car and it's crawling like that, I was like, oh, hell no. And my phone hit the floor.
Well, so that leads me to ask you about the pig suit.
Oh.
The pig mask seems a little overzealous, a little cumbersome. And my thing is, where are the eye holes? Where are you seeing out of this gigantic mask? And how is your depth perception not messed up? Like,
Ryuko's this jigsaw and he's fucking crazy.
right. Well, he's kind of vengeful, but he thinks he's doing, I guess he thinks he's doing society a solid. Speaking of Jigsaw, so we get John Kramer Jigsaw. Psychologically speaking, you don't have much of his background in this movie. That comes out in sequel. For this movie, psychologically speaking, what the fuck is wrong with this man?
Yeah. When you look at this as a whole, some would argue that he's not the murderer because he doesn't actually do anything. But he's the one that sets it in place.
He puts it in motion.
And people that are like that are going to use the excuse that I didn't physically do it, but let no, you set it up to where they had no choice. When you're talking about the serial killers, and we've talked about this before, you have your three main classifications. You have organized, disorganized, and some say mixed. Some sources will tell you mixed, and some will say medical classifications, but that's a discussion for a whole nother time. We've already established that Jigsaw is very organized. He thinks 15 steps ahead. He is the master micromanager. And I kind of want to learn from that. Like, especially in my classroom, I want to be able to think 15 steps ahead.
Right.
I'm 5 steps ahead of those students, but still. And, to go along with the classifications, you have the four main types of serial murderers, which is a little bit different, and it's more of a descriptor of their motivation. We've talked about these before, the visionary, the hedonistic, the mission oriented, and the power control oriented. And when I see Jigsaw, he is an organized, power control oriented serial murderer because he holds the power over everything.
Right.
And that power seems to be what drives him, what gives him his God complex.
It
And
almost make him come off as omnipotent in this movie.
yes. And unfortunately, when you get this combination, you're going to have a high number of victims that will eventually be discovered
Right.
because they've planned it out so thoroughly. And then they may get credit for a couple of extras along the way, like the detectives. You look at, like, when I was watching this, you know, the whole time I'm like, why is there a dead body in the floor? Like, I get it. He's used it to traumatize them. Why is it still there?
Well, who's going to have to come clean it up? Because, you
This
got
is
these two
true.
guys, you got these two guys there
And
that are locked up. But that kind of also adds to the despair and desolation and the we're next if we don't get out of here.
You know, and the whole time I'm going, if this dude stands up, I'm going to be pissed. And I remember at the very end of the movie going, son of a bitch.
Yeah, I was going to ask you if you saw the ending coming.
No, I did not. But I should have because I was thinking back, you know, through all the different Criminal Minds episodes that I watched. There's one where a guy is playing along as a victim the whole time, and he's controlling the whole scene from a clicker in his pocket. And what does Jigsaw control from his pocket? Which I don't even realize boxer shorts had a pocket,
Well, his little
but
shorts did.
maybe they weren't boxers, maybe. I don't know. But he's electrocuting them from a clicker in his pocket. And I was like, son of a bitch. It's exactly what I thought it was going to be, but I didn't see it coming. How in the hell did I not see this coming when I thought it was exactly what I thought it was going to be?
Well,
But
it's because we don't stay on just those two characters. If you stayed on those two characters the whole movie and you didn't have any of the spider web stuff open up, then your brain gets to think more about the situation and what's going on and what's there. But since we kind of open this up, we've got this red herring and that red herring and these people over here and that, these people being kidnapped and all of that stuff. And then you've got glimpses of what happened previously, like with the daughter and the mom, and then you hear Dr. Gordon and the mom kind of arguing, and then he leaves. That's what happens previous. You see them kind of get abducted by the pig person. If we just stayed on it, you'd have figured it out.
Yeah. Honestly, though, up until poor Dr. Gordon performs the most unsanitary surgery ever recorded, I mean, I would have rather a Civil War surgeon come and removed his foot than him doing it with the saw.
The one thing
But
I'm thinking about when he did decide to cut his foot off, and I was like, well, you're going to cut the foot off, but you don't have a tourniquet and there's no fire source to cauterize. So you haven't thought this all the way through. You're
right.
okay bleeding to death.
He's in such a panic to save his family. I think at that point, it's like it doesn't matter what you've got to do. You're not thinking clearly at this point. All you're thinking of is I've got to get to the gun. I've got to kill Adam to save Diana and Allie. And then you throw Michael Emerson's character, Zepp, into the picture. Is a phenomenal actor who fit this role perfectly. Then I was first introduced to him on the show Person of Interest. And he's the same type of computery background guy. Later on, turns out to be very important. At first, I'm like, but that doesn't look like the guy that I know that I've seen before. Like, this is too easy. And you see him in the home, and I'm like, okay, well, maybe he is Jigsaw. Had it not, because like at this point, it is so fast paced, it's hard to keep up with everything.
Right. That's why I asked about the
And
whiplashes.
Oh,
You really
and
have to pay attention to this movie.
you really do.
And on subsequent viewings, you see more and more things that, answer some questions for you, but make you ask more questions.
I felt like when you realized that he had a cassette recorder thing too, was like, oh,
Yeah, you realize he's in
and
the game, but you have to think back to an earlier scene. He is in the game because he is the one who put the X-rays up. He mixed up the X-rays. And it is such a blip that if you're not paying attention, you don't see it. And you wouldn't be paying attention at that point. You're trying to figure out why these two men are chained up in this dirty looking room. But he is the one who mixes the X-rays up.
And then you throw in like the all the aspect of, okay, here's Dr. Gordon, and he's taking an oath to first do no harm. And at first I was really like, he was so calm at first. I was like, he's a little sus on this because he's chained to a pipe. He's been drugged. He doesn't know where he is. And all of a sudden, he's told he has to kill this guy to save his family by this time.
Right.
Like, way too calm. So
It
I'm not gonna lie. The first like 35, 40 minutes, I was like, okay, if this turns out to be him in the end, I'm gonna be really mad. And
Well.
it just like the whole once things really kick off and start going, I had to pause it like every 10 minutes to process what I had just seen.
Right. And which
And
you shouldn't have. You should just let it have been an organic and natural experience, just, all at
again,
one time.
I also had to pause it because I was getting way too ADHD with all these different changes and like movie, 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 squirrel. And it was so intense. At one point, I didn't realize I was holding my breath.
So,
And maybe it was because of the scenery that poor Adam and Dr. Gordon had. And I was like right there with them, but holding my breath because I couldn't take the smell in there. Or the intense factor, or what? Like, I don't know why I was holding my breath, but I felt like I would have probably sat there numb the rest of the day if I had not paused it.
yeah, probably. So with this movie, this was an independent film. Lee Whannell, the guy who plays Adam, and James Wan, who's the director, they wrote this. So James Wan directed it, but Lee Whannell also helped produce it. So this is a joint effort on their part. Now, this was done for like an independent film festival where they were trying to get money to make this version. They shot the original in 3 days. So the one that helped lead them to get this greenlit is only in that room. That's all they have, just that room. And they were able to kind of expand the story so that if you saw the what they released at that independent film festival for the money, you still wouldn't kind of get this. So 3 days. So this movie had a budget. That film festival allowed them to get backers and everything, had a budget of $1 million, which sounds like a lot. However, you have to think about in this movie, you have to pay Danny Glover, you have to pay Carrie Elwes. That is going to be a big chunk of your salary, which means that tells me that they didn't take a really high salary because they liked what they saw, they liked what they read. At the box office, this movie made $103.9 million. This was a success. This was a smash. And of course, it spawned sequels. We just had Saw X come out. I still haven't seen it yet. I know. I'm like the world's biggest and worst fan. But I have seen all of the rest of them. Now, there is an offshoot called Spiral, the Book of Saw that stars Chris Rock. I haven't seen that either. And I don't think people really much cared for that one. But if we're talking about just the series as a whole, those movies are really good. They do wrap up some loose endings that you may have problems with in this film. What I will tell you is that the sequel stars Donnie Wahlberg. So you do with that information what you want. I would tell you, and I tell other people, that unless you're trying to figure out the story, to me, Saw 3 was way too gory. They went totally cash cow on that one to try to see how much gore they could get away with in a movie. To me, it takes away from the actual story that does play out across all of the sequels. Audiences gave this a 50% rating. So, and I can totally see that. You either like this movie or you don't. You either kind of appreciate it for what it was going for, or you're just grossed out. You feel like it wasted your time. You didn't appreciate the twist at the end. I can see people bouncing back and forth. Critics gave it a 46, so they were kind of almost in the same realm with each other.
That doesn't happen often.
It doesn't, either on stuff that's absolutely amazing or stuff like this. Will it kind of happen? Miss Ma'am, what are your final thoughts on this one?
This one really, really threw me for the ringer, and I'm not gonna lie, I almost didn't survive. But you know how I am. I want somebody to survive. And I wanted it to be Adam and Dr. Gordon. And it's neither of them.
What I would tell
And
you to do.
I feel like with a movie like this, because I'm probably not going to watch the sequel unless you have it on my list of stuff to watch. I'm going to be watching, like, I don't know, My Little Pony for a week to get over this.
I would say that the sequels should really, really interest you because of the assumption of what you just said about survivors is not
Yeah.
true.
And I feel like the movie itself ends on a very depressing note. Like, how do you walk out of the movie theater with a smile on your face after this
I was happy.
and not be a crazy person?
Well, that's debatable.
And by that, I do mean not be somebody who's like, oh, I think I'm gonna go and you know, I gotta have my own game. I almost feel like after watching this, I will never ever look at an escape room the same.
Right. I have never done an escape room because I've seen this movie. And I'm like, you know. If I volunteer and go to one, sure, I'm good. However, this always plays in the back of your mind. Like, is this a legit escape room or am I going to be fighting for my life?
Right. The one I've done and the others I've seen, I'm like, okay, I think I could handle that. But I'm not gonna lie, the first one I did was in a very small room, and you know, I'm claustrophobic. And so I was looking at the ceiling a lot, and they watch you on a camera the whole time,
Yes.
much like in this movie.
Right.
And now, anytime somebody speaks from that camera, all I'm gonna hear in my head is Michael Emerson or Tobin Bell. It may be some sweet 20-something-year-old girl working at the front desk who has not got a mean bone in her body, but that is not who I'm going to hear anymore.
traumatize you.
Again.
Now, this, like I said at the beginning, besides Hellraiser, this is my favorite horror movie. And I like the twists and turns in it. I think this one has just enough gore in it. I don't think it went over the top. I liked every whodunit red herring that we went on. And it made me seek out and watch all of the sequels. Now,
I liked the amount of detail they went into on the props. That really, like, with Shawnee Smith with her head contraption, it even looked like it was rusted and disgusting.
Right. And that is
And
one signature traps of the Saw series. Now, would you watch this again?
no.
Would you recommend this to anybody?
No. I don't know. Let me find
Man,
somebody that.
you're gonna make me put sequels on the schedule just 'cause.
Oh, Lord. Maybe somebody I want to have bad dreams and not sleep at all, like I did last night.
Slept like a baby. It's just any final thoughts? You good?
I really feel like this movie makes you think about what you've done in your life or what
Right.
you're doing.
And are
And
you truly as good of a person as you think you are?
right. And just how fast it can go wrong. Because, the wife, she wasn't happy, but we don't ever see her do anything wrong. Yet
She
she's
just,
victim to this too, along with the daughter.
right. But that's
So.
motivation for him to do what Jigsaw wants him to do.
And it's one of those that like really makes you think about what you do and who you are.
Does have a moral at the end of the day.
Yes. And surprisingly, this one is not if you have sex, you're going to die.
This is if you do drugs, you're gonna die. If you can't confirm a patient, you're gonna die.
If you cheat on your wife, well, I mean, technically that is sex.
Right. Okay, from us here at Scare My Best Friend to Death, we do want to tell you about an amazing female-owned indie makeup brand, Final Girl Cosmetics. They are absolutely fabulous. Their website is finalgirlcosmetics.makeup. Please go over there, check them out, look at their eyeshadow palettes that are phenomenal. They have a Scream Queen palette that all of the colors are named after final girls. It's pretty badass, if you ask me. And their lippies are fantastic. Here with Scare My Best Friend to Death, you can find us at scaremybff.com. You can find us on Instagram. We do also have a Buy Me a Coffee. At the Buy Me a Coffee, you can make a one-time donation, or you could choose to be in our membership tier. We have three different monthly memberships where you get access to the episodes early, you get behind the scenes photos, newsletters, things like that. And the highest tier, you get to pick three episodes a year for Katie and I to cover. And that kind of scares me because not only are you trying to scare Katie to death, but you'll scare me to death on that one. And, I kind of like live. So, from us here at Scare My Best Friend to Death, deuces.
Bye, y'all.